Good evening. We're coming on the air with more breaking news on this historic day. On the evening of his inauguration, President Donald Trump not wasting any time getting down to business. He has just returned to the White House and is signing a series of executive actions in the Oval Office, where he is pardoning some 1,500 January 6 rioters who have been convicted for participating in the attack on the Capitol 4 years ago. The president is speaking now. Let's listen in.
Yes, sir. First, we have a list of pardons and commutations relating to events that occurred on January 6, 2021.
Okay. And how many people is this?
I think this order will apply to approximately 1,500 people, sir.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon.
Full pardon or commutations?
Full pardon. We have about 6 commutations in there where we're doing further research. Nice to see you again. So this is a big one. Anything you want to explain about this? We hope they get them. We hope they come out tonight, frankly. You're expecting it. Approximately 1,500 people. Six commutations.
Were there any cases you did not commute or pardon of people?
We're looking at different things, but the commutations would be the ones that we'll take a look, and maybe it'll stay that way, or it'll go to, you know, full pardon.
And the order does require the Bureau of Prisons to act immediately on receipt of the pardons and commutation orders. Sir, this is an
Why don't we get that down so they can get them going right now?
Yes, sir.
Is that okay?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Sandy Reels with you. Kind of sitting here in a stunned disbelief and joy. What an incredible thing has happened to our nation. We've prayed. We've prayed that our nation would be turned around, that values and law and order and justice would return. But I honestly, in my flesh, I wasn't sure we would ever see it. And I was so wrong. I need to apologize to God for not having enough faith, because I did pray and pray. I prayed in Jesus' name that certainly the J6ers would be released. And I couldn't believe my ears, because we had heard rumors that he was not going to release them all, and that those that had attacked police, quote unquote, we might get into that, would not be getting full pardons. And because I knew their stories, I was very upset, and I didn't want to say anything about it, even to my friends, my J6 friends. I was afraid it would be like a gut punch, and I'm glad I said nothing. And no one could have been more surprised and more delighted when President Trump signed the orders. And we're going to play that clip for you later. If you'd missed any of this past weekend, the inaugural address, the crowds, the arena, Capitol One, President Trump signing in the Oval Office. If you missed that, look it up and watch it. It was an amazing thing to behold. Him signing all these orders and taking on the press at one time. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later when Bruce joins me. But it is really good news, and we have so much to tell you today. I really can't wait. I hope I don't talk over myself or talk in such a way you can't understand, because it is just absolutely one of the thrills of my lifetime, really. Really and truly. But before I get all emotional on you, let me remind you that this is Sanctity of Life Month, and we are honoring the death of 66 million babies whose lives were taken in abortion. And that's happened since 1973, when Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton were passed. In fact, babies' lives are even at a greater risk now because of the abortion pill, which accounts for 60% of all abortions. It's a tragedy 24/7. It's a continuing tragedy for girls who think that they're lucky because they can abort their babies so easily with a couple of pills. And they just don't understand. So Preborn is trying to stop that by just making the case with them, by showing the moms their baby in their womb. And it works. Most of them choose to keep their babies, or at least not to terminate their lives and maybe adopt them out when they see the graphic pictures of the babies moving, sucking their thumbs. It's an amazing thing. And so with that, you know that Preborn is a sponsor of this show, and I do everything I can to help them raise money to continue this great work. If you'd like to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy to make your most generous donation. And guess what? This is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on social media platforms of every stripe, and you can listen to us on any podcast platform. AFR.net is home base, but you can listen on Spotify or Amazon or Apple, whatever your choice is. Sandy Rios 24/7 is there. And you can also go to sandyrios.com and listen to it very easily with a push of a button. So I want to thank all of you for listening. And before we even say more, I want to thank my friend Chicago Joe down in Goochland County, who's been writing the J6ers faithfully, ministering to them in every way he can. I want to thank my good friend Nancy Spayman, who's been doing the same. And many of you have. I've heard from you. I just don't recall your names right offhand. But those of you who prayed and gave and supported and wrote and listened, I can't say enough. This is your day, too. This is your week. This is your celebration. And so that's what we're going to do today, is we bring you details that unfolded. We're going to do all of those things, I hope. We might even cry some, but we're going to do all of that on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
First item that President Trump is signing is the rescission of 78 Biden-era executive actions, executive orders, presidential memoranda, and others. The next item, sir, is a freeze on all federal hiring, excepting the military and a number of other excluded categories, again, until full control of the government is achieved and we understand the objectives of government going forward.
Could you imagine Biden doing this? I don't think so. I don't think so.
The next item here is the withdrawal from the Paris Climate Treaty. And lastly, sir, before we go back to the Oval Office to sign a large number of other items, is a directive to the federal government ending the weaponization of government against the political adversaries of the previous administration, as we've seen.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was President Trump signing these executive orders live in front of that audience that had waited in the cold since the early morning. And trust me, it was colder than you can imagine in D.C. on that morning. And they waited for hours and they finally got in. Not all of them did get in. But he came after the inauguration and sat down in front of them and signed, at least started signing, the first part of these 200 executive orders. You just got a smattering of them, and we're just learning now more and more, which we'll be bringing to you in the days to come. More information on those incredible executive orders as the people cheered. And, of course, that last one, he didn't mention the J6ers, but that was the precursor. Government abusing their authority, coming after, you know, his supporters. That's what he meant. And that's what he did. When he went back to the Oval Office, as he was signing this particular order, I want you to hear him, because he lays out the explanation of what he's doing and why he's doing it more clearly than probably most Americans have ever heard. This is clip 8. Let's listen.
We have a problem in this country. You sign an executive order, it doesn't get done for 6 months. As an example, when we allow the J6 hostages to go out, It might not be approved in under the old days by for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 months. You know, they had a good ruling from the Supreme Court, and it's like nothing happened. That ruling was 6 months ago, you know that. And it was like they didn't have a ruling. They've been treated very unfair. The judges have been absolutely brutal. The prosecutors have been brutal. Nobody's ever treated people in this country like that.
Mr. President, are you commuting the sentences of anyone who assaulted a police officer on January 6th?
Well, we're looking at two police officers, actually, that Washington police officer who went after an illegal, and things happened, and they ended up putting them in jail. They got five-year jail sentences. You know the case. And we're looking at that in order to give them a... we got to give them a break.
But it's the clemency in your actions today for anybody.
Well, it would be a pardon. That would be a pardon. The one I'm talking about would be a pardon.
Yes, sir.
Should there be punishment for the people who assaulted law enforcement officers that day?
Well, I will say this. They've been in jail for a long time already. I see murderers in this country get 2 years, 1 year, and maybe no time. So they've already been in jail for a long time. These people have been destroyed. What they've done to these people is outrageous. There's rarely been anything like it in history, in the history of our country. And even people that were aggressive, and in many cases, I believe they happen to be outside agitators, but you know, what do I know, right? But I think they were. I think they were outside agitators. There were outside agitators involved. And obviously the FBI was involved because Ray admitted the FBI was involved. Didn't he say 23 people, indirectly or directly, were involved? And it was then 26. That's a lot of people. Now we have, we got to take care of these people have been treated so badly. It's never happened before. What happened in Seattle where they took over a big portion of the city? What happened in Portland where they burn down the city every day and people die? Nothing happened to anybody. But they go after these people violently. I mean, they're still going after brand new people. They found somebody else with a picture. There's never been anything like this. And you know, it's almost 100%. Think of this, almost 100% of the people are convicted. 100%. It's Washington, D.C. People go into a trial and they say, oh, I have a wonderful lawyer and I didn't do anything wrong.
So President Trump, was delivering the reasons after he issued the complete pardons, full pardons for 1,600 of them and commutations for six or seven. It's just amazing. I'm going to tell you more of this when Bruce joins me, but we were in D.C. for the inauguration. That's why the shows have not been, on time like I like for them to be. But, of course, it got very, very bitterly cold there, and the snow started to come, and everything ended up being very, very different. So Capitol Arena, Bruce had gotten tickets for that a week ago or 2 weeks before we went, but we could not get there. And so we were really sorry to miss that, but we watched, and I hope you did too. We'll tell you more about our trip in just a second. But it was an incredible, it was almost like a holy moment when he signed those orders to declare male and female, only two genders. That's one of the orders, and we could go on. But to reinstate justice for the J6ers, that was a real moment, probably one of the most, well, maybe one of the most controversial orders that he signed. Well, as I was putting the show together, I thought about all my friends, Jake. I've been in touch with Jake Lang and others and talking to them. But I felt maybe the best thing to do would be to have a conversation with Tim Rivers. Tim has been my guest repeatedly. He's the person that invited me to come to the J6 Film Fest, or the 1A Film Fest, which was a lot of J6ers down in Texas, and we took off and did that. We've been working with him and trying to help in any way that we can and trying to bring all this information to you. But nobody's done what Tim has done. Tim was an IBM executive, and he has given his money, his time, just freely to do whatever he can to help them. And I knew that if anybody knew the stories of what was happening to those men, it would be Tim. And so I talked with him earlier, and here he is. It's my delight to have Tim Rivers with us this morning because the J6 pardons are fresh. The ink is not dry yet. And we just came back from D.C. and I was watching and interacting with J6ers as they were being released from the D.C. gulag. So I have stories to tell. But Tim Rivers, I've asked to be with us because he's been with me so many times. We've become good friends. He's a former IBM executive who has just gone all in with his resources and his life to defend the J6ers. He has founded J6 Patriot News, and write that down because that's where you can follow these guys and their stories, J6 Patriot News, and also American Gulag Chronicles. He's the one that's produced these wonderful books, Letters from Prison. Lettersfromprison.us is where you can go to check those out. And the brand new one is coming out even as we speak today, depending on when you hear it, but right now, it's called The Road to Freedom, and Tim just declared to me that's the last one because there won't be a need for any more. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sandy. So glad to be back. It's shocking. I'm kind of like a mountain climber that just scaled Everest, and you're standing at the summit, and you're going, "Did I do that?" And I look around at the fellow, the climbing party with me, and I go, "Oh my gosh, we really did. We freed." almost all of the prisoners. I have a remaining list of 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 people and two that are in halfway houses that we can't locate. Otherwise, we have freed over 230-some-odd prisoners.
Now, you're talking about in Florida.
No, I'm talking about in the nation. That's how we had 247 people incarcerated.
Okay, all across the country. Okay. And 11 people still in. Okay, so those 11 people, let me just start with that because I have been told that some of them have convictions for other things. Is that true of all of them?
Yes, and many of them are fruits of the poison tree because they used the January 6th incursion in order to find convictions of other things. So in other words, like Jeremy Brown. He was charged with these January 6th insurrection charges. They raided his home. They planted evidence and then convicted him on weapons charges in the state. And that's why they're holding this Green Beret veteran, American hero, actually poster boy for the Green Beret. They're still holding him in D.C. and treating him very badly. They even teased him, let him get into the lobby with all his goods and give away all of his commissary and everything to his cellmates and then wait until his wife and his mother appeared to pick him up, and they said, "Oh, sorry, we mistook. Back to your cell." And now he's got nothing. He starts over again, and he's still stuck in the D.C. gulag. I think this is just indicative of the scorched earth policy that the left has been instituting everywhere. But I will tell you that my experience for the prison that I was responsible for, which was Coleman FCC here in Florida, which has three prisons, has a high, a medium, and a camp. I mean, a low, a medium, and a camp. It's one of the largest prisons in Florida, and we had 12 men inside there. And the law says that after President Trump signed his document, that they had to be released by midnight of the same day. Well, we didn't get a call to start coming into the prison until almost 1 a.m., and then we stood outside those prison doors and waited till almost 2:15 when all of our prisoners came out together. And you can see the video of that on my show on Freedom Fridays. And we'll also have it up on our Rumble page at WTR55. Just an amazing event of these men coming out of the prison into the arms of their loved ones and their friends. It's just something to see. And we're going to document that. I believe that this calls for a complimentary video to go with book number 3, and it needs to be called The Road to Freedom as well, because the things that we've been seeing in the last 48 hours are just stunning.
Give us an idea, Tim, because we're speaking in generalities, and thanks to the thing you said about Jeremy Brown is, I'm glad you said that. I had no idea what was happening and why he wasn't out, because in the D.C. gulag, what they were doing was they were actually dropping individual prisoners off in random places in the District of Columbia, not telling their families, not telling anyone, and the families had to go find them. They didn't do that with everyone, but it's horrific what they did in releasing them. But tell us, Kyle Fitzsimmons is someone familiar to me. I know his mother. I know, we've read his stuff. We corresponded indirectly. And tell us about his release. I'd be real interested in that. He's out, right?
Oh, yeah. He was one of the 12 in Coleman that we rescued. I saw Kyle as he came through the door. We kind of looked at each other, and I recognized him, although his face was very different from when he went in, and the Christmas, beautiful Christmas card I got from his family with him and his lovely daughter. And it took a minute, and then we recognized who each other were. It was a great reunion, and he is free. We took him back to we vetted the whole team. We brought them back to the house of the Republican the support group there in for Sumter County, who did amazing work. They vetted them with a huge dinner and cakes, and they had packages, and American Gulag had packages put together for them with necessities. They each received a large stipend that they had raised for them to get them home. And then their family came and collected him. Bonnie came the next day and picked up Kyle. I was there for the reunion. Kyle was awarded one of our challenge coins for his work at the Chronicles, and signed a couple of books for him. And it's hard for me to describe the emotion of these family reunions. You'd have to see it to really get the gist of it. And I'm going to show it to you in my Freedom Friday shows, because I think America needs to understand what kind of a mountain got moved here by sheer will and faith and the glory of God.
Amen to that. Amen to that. I, as much as I love God and trust him, I guess I didn't trust him enough on this. I prayed and prayed, but I really thought I might not ever see this, honestly. And I know you feel the same, Tim. So this is a miracle of God, and also just, you know, God using his people to work and work and never give up, never give up. Because, and even not give up, because the rest of the culture didn't believe us. They didn't want to listen to it. It was, you were marginalized and ridiculed if you embraced what was the truth about what happened on that day. It's amazing. But I think the worm is turning, don't you? I think this is going to help move the ball along to help this get into the DNA of American people what actually happened on that day. Don't you think so?
I do, and I praise the heroes who did this work, the people like David Sumrall, Suzanne Monk, who put together the Pardon Project and was the driving force behind locating these people and getting all of our people to it. American Patriot Relief, who took the idea of how do we rescue these people and turned it into the Freedom's Ambassador Project, which we had ambassadors at every prison with crowds, kind of organizing things, making sure we were ready to receive these people and take them to safety. We had two jets sitting on the ground in Washington, D.C., ready to fly our heroes home, and they had to wait in that snow area while they delayed the release of many of the people in D.C. And they're flying people across the country to their homes as we speak. All of these are volunteers. All of these are acts of charity. All of these are following the acts of Hebrew that says, if they're imprisoned and suffering, you must identify as if you were suffering and imprisoned with them.
Tim, what do you think the greatest need is? I know it's individual, but if there's a general way to say, what is the greatest need these men and some women are going to have now that they're let down, that they're released?
I'll give you an example. I brought three homeless people home with me from that group of 12, three of them who live in my Tampa Bay area who had no place to go. We were lucky one of them had a girlfriend and with the money that they had collected for him is able to get a weekend place. Another gentleman kind of reconnected with a lady friend that had been taking care of his money. Of course, he lost his rental. He doesn't have a place to go. His business is gone. And we were able to get him reestablished. I've got one gentleman that we've been putting up in a hotel for 3 days now that we're still trying to find a place for him. He has nowhere to go. He was severely injured in a car accident, and then the DOJ denied him an opportunity to get his surgery before sending him to prison. So now he has a kind of a serious limp, and he was a tradesman. So, you know, here's the problem. They need to get restarted. They have no ID. They came out without a driver's license, without a Social Security card, without a government ID, without a bank account, without a home to go to, without a family to support them, with many friends who are too far away to help. And it's up to we, the people, now to finish this job. We have labored so long to free these men and women. We cannot now dump them on the streets of America and go, thanks a lot, good luck. It's time to repatriate these men and women. You can help me do it. Go to GiveSendGo, givesendgo.com/freedomsambassador, no spaces, freedoms with an S, ambassador. That's the campaign. We started it on January 6th. God stepped in. We've raised $100,000. In about 20 days, we still have a huge need. That money is going to buy fuel for airplanes to put people like this gentleman I have up in a hotel to give the stipends to the men so they can buy food and clothing. I had an amazing event as halfway home. These guys were in their prison garb, and they looked at me and said, please, sir, can we stop anywhere to get some clothing? And I stopped at a big, big Walmart halfway home. They all ran into the Walmart, and they were gone for like an hour. I went, oh, my God, I've lost them. They came out styling new clothes. They had thrown their prison guards in the garbage can, came out in new clothes, and then did a little fashion show for us in front of the truck to show us their new garb before they climbed back in to go home. We went and had a great pizza dinner together, and then we delivered them to freedom. And that's what the Freedom's Ambassador Program is about. Now we have to help these people get reestablished. You can get involved. Every one of you can finish this job for these patriots. Go to givesendgo.com/freedomsambassador and give from your heart. Throw your bread upon the water, and it will come back to you tenfold.
You know, I love that, Tim. I'm so glad. You know, you think of everything. I don't know if I said at the beginning that you are a former IBM executive. I say that because that's important. You lived at, you travel in a very important, according to this world's values, a job and place and prestigious company. And here you are. I've seen it firsthand. You poured your life, your time, your energy, your resources into helping them. And just, this sounds so slight, but I'm so proud of you, Tim. I really am. I'm just proud to know you, and I'm so proud of what you've done. Now we need to help you help them, because most of us don't have, I have some firsthand contacts, but most people don't. And so I want to repeat, it's givesendgo.com/freedomsambassador. All right, that last, at the D.C. Gulag, they actually at 9 o'clock, because they got released, so they started releasing them in a trickle at 3, and they were all over the map. So finally, at 9 o'clock, a lot of the guys who'd gotten out went back, and it was frigid, you know, frigidly cold in D.C. on that day, probably down to 10 degrees that night, morning into morning. And they sang, you know, the national anthem as they always do. I think it was 9 o'clock. I was wondering if the guys in Florida did that. I'm sure. I mean, that's not a litmus test. I just wondered if they did that.
You know, they didn't. And in counter thought, I said that should have been my job to lead that. But I was just overcome with the emotion of the moment with meeting three of my friends who have been behind prison. Two of them, Terry and I, have been supporting for quite a while. It was a joyous reunion, and the emotion overcame logic. I don't know. That's all. It was like, oh my God, they're free. We did it.
And you know,
so I think the one beautiful part of this is that the founder of the Sing for Freedom project, whose role was picked up by my great friend Clifford Rhodes. Many people know him as Patriot AU. He's the guy that's in the beautiful stars jacket with the red, white, and blue striped ties. Has been leading Sing for Freedom since Joe Thomas was incarcerated last year, and Joe was one of the people that we've adopted to care for. Amazing video of him coming out and bursting into the anthem as the minute he came through the door. There are some things here that are historic, folks, that if you're missing them, you're going to wish that you had watched. Because this is history happening right in front of your eyes. This is a historic moment in America. The spirit of 1776 has awoken in patriots and in the populace. Now let's make America better. Let's make America safer. Let's make America free so that we can all speak our peace and all stand for what's right without fear of government. And I'm so thankful for people like you, Sandy, for all the people that we have met. You are God sent. There is no other way to describe the connections that have happened over 4 years, the improbability of the chains of support and care and love that has sustained these men and their supporters like me. So thank you for that. And America, if you've been standing on the fence watching this take place, I'm not disappointed in you. but I demand that you do better. This is a new era for America, and you must awaken and be part of it.
I can't add anything to that. I can't add a thing to that other than to thank listeners, because many of them, because of your work, started writing letters through J6 Patriot News and sustaining a lot of these guys with their encouragement, their words, and I want to thank them. It's been a joint effort for the remnant of us that really God laid it on our hearts. He did, and that's why we did it. Tim, I know you've got so much to do. You've already described it. You got your house filled with people. You're trying to help other people. So out of respect for your precious time right now, I'm going to let you go. But I want to remind people they can help you help them by going to givesendgo.com/freedomsambassador. And I'll repeat that again after we say goodbye. But go forth, and thank you, Tim. Thank you for everything you've done, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate the time with you. Always fun. We'll see you later.
Yeah. Okay, God bless you, Tim. Thank you. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, we're not done, because we have a lot more to tell you. And one thing I want to tell you is, speaking of pardons, the March for Life, I'm not sure when you're going to hear this, but it's going to happen in the next few days. And President Trump is expected to free all the pro-lifers that have been jailed. I forget, there's like 21 that Joe Biden put in prison for protesting abortion at these clinics. You've heard about it. It's been unbelievable. So he's going to issue pardons for them, so that the people at the March for Life can have more to celebrate. This is, of course, Sanctity of Life Month. And it's just so appropriate that he do this, that he pardon them. It's also very appropriate that we help to continue the work of Preborn. Because even though President Trump is freeing the pro-lifers, and even though the March for Life is a glorious, wonderful occasion, we all know that the reality is that abortions have actually increased since Roe versus Wade. And so we have a lot of work to do, and I think Preborn is on the point of the spear on that. By providing ultrasounds for moms who, you know, are considering an abortion, it's just a miracle, another thing that's just so true and rich and powerful, and that's what they do, and that's what you help them do, is provide them. It's $28 for one of them, and of course you can give any amount of money, be as generous as you can. And you can do that by going to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
The masses are woken up. Unfortunately, in America, people, just like in any other regime, in any other countries happen, they have to see and feel the visceral pain. They have to hear the stories from the gulag to wake us up. It wasn't something, this freedom that we're now enjoying with the President Trump victory would not have happened unless the Jan Sixers had suffered in the gulags, knowing what was at stake when we went to the voting booths in 2024. It was something that you had to feel and touch. American people got intimately, viscerally responsive
to real modern day tyranny. This is not powdered wigs in our founding fathers in the textbooks. We saw them kick down the doors of people and raid homes and drag grandmothers out into the street. It was not no longer pages of history. We knew what was at stake if we continued to allow the Democrats and this deep state regime to take over. And we mandated and pushed back at the voting booth, which we did in 2020, but it counted in 2024. And that's all that counts right now, because I'm home and I love my girl right here, my fiance, and I'm so happy to be home, and it's a blessing. It is such a blessing to be around you guys right now. Humans.
What's next for you? Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It's been an honor to serve our country in any small capacity, because, you know, throughout generations, we know that men give their lives for this country. And so just 4 years and 4 days is nothing compared to the sacrifice Ashley Babbitt made and Roseanne Boylan and Kevin Greeson and Benjamin Phillips. They gave the full measure. They died on the steps of the Capitol for the things that we represent. Truth, freedom, American justice, things that have been perverted, but things that are coming back, is a moment of reclamation in America. It's truly a moment where we can gather together as one nation under God. This is a blessing moment. This is who got me through. This is what got me through. President Trump was an instrument of the man who wrote this book. He was an instrument of the man who wrote this book.
That's right, bro. David. My brother. Oh, God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Oh, I love you, my friend.
Right here. Let my people go. That was the message in the Daily Bread.
This is my client. we were going to go to trial on the 3rd, and no more. He's out. So thank you for
your courage. God bless you, sir. You stood by us. And you guys out there, the independent media.
Well, that's part of what Jake Lang had to say. That's Jacob Lang. And, of course, Jake has been our guest many, many times. Jake has been in for 4 years. 4 years in pre-trial detention. He's told his story many times at this mic. I've talked to him from jail. He was transferred 17 times. He was beaten just the night before they were released. He had his things stolen repeatedly from his cell. This is an example of what they've all endured. I'm just giving you his story. Terrible food, cockroaches. It's just been a horrible ordeal. And as President Trump said in his statement, in the history of our country, we don't think anyone's ever been treated as badly, any American in an American jail, as these men have been treated. And, you know, Tim mentioned Master Sergeant Jeremy Brown, and he was actually, it wasn't just a cliche when Tim said he was the poster boy for the Green Berets. He really was. He was their poster boy. For 20 years, Jeremy Brown served the Special Forces, Master Sergeant Jeremy Brown, and no one has been treated really any worse than Jeremy Brown. And so he's been in captivity all of these days, and you heard Tim say how they teased releasing him. His parents were there waiting for him. He gave up his commissary pass. He gave up everything he had, because they have some things in their cell. They can buy a few things. He gave it all up, and they knew they were not going to release him, and they didn't release him because there were other charges that they brought as they set him up on weapons charges, and we can talk about that at a later date. But that's the way it actually came down. Bruce is with me. Honey, thanks for joining me, as always.
Well, I concur with you that I did not have enough faith that this day would ever, ever happen. I think it's an absolute miracle. It's a tribute to all the people that prayed, all the people that helped. But, of course, nothing happens without our God. And Jesus looked down on these men and women and took mercy.
It really did, Bruce, because, and I'm going to play in a second, you know, I mentioned with Tim that the guys, Jake and some other people, stood on the street across from the jail and sang the national anthem with the guys who were still, you know, incarcerated in the D.C. jail. They've been doing this for 4 years. Singing together every night, the guys in the prison around the country. So it was pretty amazing, and I'm going to play a taste of them singing in just a minute. But, Bruce, the picture was this, because I was actually on a live feed. We were doing a live stream, I guess they call it, me and my technology knowledge. But I was featured on a live stream. It doesn't matter about that, but they had me join, and I was so glad. And here's the thing. I could see the camera then, because we were driving, trying to beat that snow and sleet storm coming down into Florida. Bruce was driving 12 and a half hours without even hardly a break except for the bathroom. So he was gripping the steering wheel as I was on the computer trying to interact with the J6ers and their families. But this jail entrance is a distance away, but you can see it. You can see the police, but you can't really make out faces. And then there's a service road between where the families were standing on a sidewalk and the jail. So they're capturing what's happening. And they had been told that they would be released at 3 o'clock. And so they're just waiting. They're so excited. And it's freezing cold. It's what, was it 10 when we left that morning, honey?
It's really cold.
Yeah.
Really cold. Wind blowing.
And these guys being released don't have winter coats sufficient for that. And I told you they were releasing them all over D.C. D.C. can be a very dangerous place, Bruce. You just wonder, where in the world did they drop them?
Well, you know, I think that was really indicative of the entire incarceration of these January 6 prisoners was just tormenting them.
Yeah.
Be it the judges, be it the jail guards, be it the prosecutors, whomever had an opportunity to kick somebody when they were down, that was the treatment that was given to the J6ers.
And you just heard I'm not sure Tim said this. I think he did. Yes, this last prisoner he's trying to place was in a car accident right before January 6th, and they wouldn't let him get surgery. So he's mangled. He has a limp. And many of them had cancer and couldn't get their treatments. The stories will just come out and come out as we learn more and more about this. People will understand why some of us have been so adamant and just planted our flag on the fact that justice had to be done for them.
And that just angers me so much when you think of the Biden administration, how they offer transgender surgeries to prisoners and advocate for that, paid at taxpayers' expense. Meanwhile, you have people in jail that have actual physical needs demonstrated by whether it be x-ray or examination needs to walk, and they are denied that service.
You know, honey, I was also thinking, remembering this has been going on for so long, I forget sometimes, but in the D.C. gulag, which I was particularly focused on, the guards were, for the most part, Nation of Islam. And they hated these guys. Many of the J6 guys, not all of them, but many of them were Christians or became Christians incarcerated. And they had worship services. And they prayed together. And so they really had felt the wrath of these guards. And as a matter of fact, I was trying. They would not let them see a chaplain. They would not let them have official religious services. No one could go in to see them. Sometimes they were even denied meetings with their attorney, which is illegal as far as I know, isn't it, Bruce?
It is. It is. The person is entitled to access to his legal counsel. Also, members of Congress showed up. They were denied entry.
Isn't that the truth? Louis Gohmert and others went over. Louis was really the most rabid. He's a good friend, and
you know, and you know, these men, the J6ers, were having an impact because the Bureau of Prisons kept moving them. In other words, they would start to establish relationships among themselves, whether it be religious services or singing, and when that got too strong in the opinion of the authorities, they were moved. You heard Jake say he was moved 17 times in 4 years.
Yeah.
And each time they did that, there was also another method to the madness, is it seemed like any time that would happen, their property would be confiscated. And a lot of their property, for many of them, were legal documents used in preparing for their defense. So they get ready to submit to their lawyers their research, because these guys were doing a lot of research while they were behind bars, and then it's confiscated. Now you have to start all over again. And of course, on a more base line, no haircuts, no shaves, no trimming of their nails,
no decent food,
These guys looked like they had been shipwrecked for 4 years, not kept in a federal penitentiary where, even under the Geneva Convention, when we take people prisoner of war, they get treated better than these people were.
You know, just after we spoke to Jake the last time, which was probably 10 days ago, I'm guessing, before the pardons came, he was isolated in another area of the prison with hardened criminals, most of them black, black criminals. White criminals are just as bad as black criminals. I always have to say that in case you wondered. But they had particular animus for this guy. He's a New Yorker and he's pretty brash. And he was beaten. There had been a lot of stabbings in that area of the prison, so there was a plea to please pray for him. So this is what they've been through. And yet what happened was that many of them found Jesus in that prison. Jake was already a Christian, but his roots just went much more deep. And he grew. I watched him grow because I interviewed him over the four-year period. And he just went deeper in the Word, and now he was baptizing men just days before this pardon came. So I just want you to know that's what happened. And Bruce, there's another thing I want you to hear, just a couple of things that are not necessarily related but are interesting. I played that clip of President Trump explaining, about the J6ers being pardoned. Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted you to hear the last part of that. Actually, Adam, let's do something. Let's play, just start clip 8. This is what the clip was. Then we're going to stop and we're going to play clip 9, which is the ending of that clip, just to give it context. So here's the president making his remarks and explaining why he is pardoning them. This is clip 8.
We have a problem in this country. You sign an executive order, it doesn't get done for 6 months. As an example, when we allow the J6 hostages to go out, it might not be approved under the old days for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 months. You know, they had a good ruling from the Supreme Court, and it's like nothing happened.
Okay, we're going to jump in there. He goes on to explain their treatment, as we have many times. And then as he's talking and wrapping up, somebody messed with this tape. And this is a clip that went out. It went out, I believe it was a reputable paper from the southern state, from a Memphis or someplace like that. They messed with this clip. Milwaukee Journal. Milwaukee Sentinel Journal. That's what it was. Listen carefully. Listen to carefully to what they did. This is clip 9.
You have Russian boats all over the place.
And they end up in shackles almost immediately. In jail.
No.
And they can't make that.
All right, there was a little more to it, but I'll just tell you, they interject him saying in another setting, and they put his voice and bring it to a level where it sounds like this live thing where he talks about getting Russian votes to get elected. That's what it says. So listen again, you'll hear it. This is clip 9, the end of what Milwaukee Sentinel put up as the clip of President Trump making his remarks on J6. This is how they messed with the clip. This is clip 9.
You have Russian boats all over the place.
And they end up in shackles almost immediately. In jail.
No.
And they can't make that.
Anyway, I just want to hear Russian votes all over. Same voice, temper, everything.
Well, I think we'd be crazy to think that the resistance does not live. And we can look just at this situation. Already in Pennsylvania, there's a Democratic district attorney that is attempting to recharge any person from Pennsylvania who was involved in the J6 riot. They're claiming that no double jeopardy applies. This is ridiculous. As a former prosecutor, I can tell you that this is a double jeopardy issue where you cannot be tried for a case that you've already been tried for or pardoned for. Now, this is nothing more than an intimidation tactic to make these guys' lives miserable. You take what happened to Jeremy Brown when he was going to be released out of the correctional facility in D.C. He's brought out, his family's there, all his things are given away by him to his fellow prisoners. He's literally ready to walk out the door. And they say, oh, no, 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 you can't leave because you have another charge. I mean, these are the kind of things, it's like these pardons are being scrutinized. Meanwhile, you had Joe Biden issue what we would call preemptive pardons to people of the January 6th committee, like Jamie Raskin and Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney. If they've done nothing wrong, like they've continued to tell us when they were members of that January 6th committee, why do they need pardons? Why? And because there's no indication from President Trump that he's going after these people if there's no reason. So it really is the resistance is alive, people. Yeah. You heard it on that Milwaukee Sentinel clip. They're back at it.
I want to interject one other thing before we close. I want you to hear this other thing. This was dropped into WHAS. I'm WHAS 11. I'm not sure what network that is. And we listened to a bit of that clip. But in the middle of that, they did this. This is only just a few seconds, maybe 20 seconds. And this is what they say. This is clip 7.
Craig Sicknick, the brother of Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, who died after he was attacked on January 6th, tells ABC News that Trump's pardons are a betrayal of decency.
So just to give an example, Brian Sicknick is a policeman. They claimed that he was hit by a fire extinguisher. They claimed that that caused his death. They actually had a service in the rotunda for Brian Sicknick because he died a day or two after the January 6th, and they blamed it on the J6ers. And we found out now that there are tapes, I've seen them, of Brian Sicknick walking through the rotunda during the time when they said he was attacked. And his family then came out, not his brother evidently, but his family came out and said he had a heart problem. And he died on the table in surgery. He didn't die because he was hit by January 6thers or attacked, but these are the kinds of lies. In fact, President Biden had continued even until he walked out the door to claim that several policemen were killed, and that's an abject lie.
Yeah, and it is sad that Officer Sicknick did pass away.
Absolutely.
I believe he died of a stroke the next day after January 6th. However, this has been used, his death, these people should be ashamed of themselves. They've used Officer Sitnik's death to propagate this false narrative that the J6ers murdered him. And if knowing police the way I do, Officer Sitnik would probably be ashamed if he saw what was done prostituting what happened to him.
You know,
Further a narrative.
I actually heard along the way a long time ago that he was a conservative. That's what's ironic. Now, his brother isn't, obviously, but there's just an example of how things have been twisted. Well, Bruce, it's a wonderful day. It really is. There's one last thing. I do want you to hear this. This is Kristen Welker. These are some information points that you should know, and then we're going to close out with the J6ers singing. So this is Kristen Welker from NBC News kind of spelling out in numbers what this all means. Let's listen. Clip 8.
It's virtually everyone, Lester. I believe there were 1,600 people total who had been convicted of crimes on January 6th. It's important to note 172 of them were convicted of assaulting police officers, so we'll have to see if anyone on that list is accused or pleaded guilty to assaulting police officers. We will also look to see, it appears at this point, that it will include former Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio. According to his lawyer, his client is currently being processed for release from federal prison because of this action by President Trump. What's important to remember about Tarrio, he was sentenced to 22 years in prison for seditious conspiracy. He wasn't there on January 6th, but he was charged with planning the attack against the Capitol. This is part of what candidate Trump campaigned on. He said that he would pardon those who were convicted on January 6th. I have to say, of all of his policies, this is not a popular one. According to recent polling, two-thirds oppose him pardoning those who've been convicted of crimes on January
6th. We're out to change those polls so that people will have a better understanding. Lester Holt comes back and says, yes, Enrico Tarrio, the white supremacist. Well, Enrico Tarrio is a black Cuban. Yeah, just saying.
You know, and I think this President Trump is not being given enough credit here. I think he struck the perfect balance in the way he went about this pardon. He pardoned the majority of the people because they've either spent enough time or they were overcharged, or they overserved their sentences for the most part, or were given sentences that were not in accordance with what their actions were. But he held back with some of the people that he only gave clemency to at this point. And what that means is, as the president said, those cases are still being evaluated, because I assume most of them involved interactions between the J6er and police, whether it be a fight, weapons, whatever. But those people were not given pardons straight up. Now, they may end up with them, but what I'm saying is President Trump could have just waved his hand the way Joe Biden did and said, everybody's out. We're not going to look at anything. This is done. And actually, for him, politically, that probably would have been more expedient.
Yes, but he didn't.
But because he's fair, he's going to, you know, and he loves law enforcement people, so he's going to take a look at these cases and see if they do merit only clemency or whether they merit a pardon.
Yes, and I should say, because I can't assume people have heard what we said before at this mic, there were policemen who behaved abominably. We have it on film. When Roseanne Boylan, a single gal, I think in her early 40s, you know, happy in other shots, she's got like her little hat on in the cold. When she gets trampled in the tunnel, while she's down, a female black policewoman from the District of Columbia, not a Capitol policeman, there were all kinds of police there, beat her mercilessly. She completely defenseless, and that's why a lot of these guys got charged, because they were trying to stop the police from beating Roseanne, and also because there was another black activist next to her on the ground, same thing, Philip Anderson. Philip was also being trampled, and so this is what people were trying to stop. And one more thing, there was a woman in the tunnel. We've seen her tell her story, Victoria White. Victoria White was by herself. She was there because she felt passionately, but she didn't have a weapon. She was helpless. And you can see clearly on a tape that she's being beaten mercilessly, I think 17 times with a metal stick from a male, a police officer of some stripe. So you cannot say in this case that all police are good. We know that. Don't we know that? Most of them are, and we choose to believe them and to trust them because of the authority they've been given. But because of the wokeness that's come into our police agencies, we have a lot of bad people serving. And so we have to factor that in when we're talking about guilt or innocence. Well, it is a great day. It's a great day. And rather than these guys, you know, coming out complaining, they're hugging, they're laughing, and they're thanking God. And as in front of the D.C. gulag, they sang God Bless America. No. They sang God Bless the USA. Let's listen. Clip 3.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
There ain't no doubt I love this land.
Andy Rios with you, and that just will go out with that. These guys are the true patriots of our time. They've paid a great price, and yet they still love this country. And the world owes them, the nation owes them a gratitude of debt. So I hope that you will help. Give generously. I'm going to give it one last time. GiveSinGo.com, Freedom's Ambassador, Freedom's Ambassador. GiveSinGo.com/Freedom's Ambassador. I want to thank our sponsors. I couldn't do this without Timothy Plan, where they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit TimothyPlan.com/Sandy. That's TimothyPlan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Thank you. Thank you for joining me for today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.